Today on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, we continue in our series called Life's Healing Choices. In these lessons, Rick offers an in-depth biblical look at overcoming the hurts, hang-ups, and habits that hold us back in life. Now, in just a few minutes, we're going to tell you how to get our brand new Daily Hope Scripture Box based on the series Life's Healing Choices. It's a great way to keep God's hopeful and healing words right at your fingertips every day. You can go to PastorRick.com or you can text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 to find out more. That's PastorRick.com or the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Right now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part two of a message called The Sharing Choice.
The story of the prodigal son who had, everything that he wanted. He took his half of the inheritance and he goes off and he spends it on, you know, Sunset Strip in Jerusalem with wine, women, and song, particularly the women. And he ends up running out of everything and he ends up living in a pig pen, eating the same food that the pigs would eat. Now, that's not exactly where you're supposed to be if you're Jewish, because a ham and pork is not a thing you're supposed to be around. And he hits bottom, and it says then he came to his senses. Why do we have to wait till it goes completely belly up before we come to our senses? Why can't we be smart enough to obey God when it hasn't gotten that bad yet? Why do we have to wait until all of a sudden we need a crisis, we need an intervention in our lives? You see, we rarely change until we get desperate. And, we postpone difficult decisions. We delay doing things we need to do. We delay counseling until it's too late. We ignore the problem until it reaches crisis stage. And we just keep procrastinating. A couple months ago, some of you remember that I wrote about the story of Elijah in one of the News and Views. And in that, I talked about the story of Elijah, who was one of God's favorite guys in the Bible. And God let him take a little vacation at a little bubbling brook called Cherith. And he said, Elijah, I want you to go to this place and I want you to stay there. And Elijah got quite comfortable. It was like a little resort spa for him. It said the birds supernaturally brought food. And, you know, and he didn't have to go hunt for it. And it said the water was clear and fresh and there were trees to sleep under. And he was having a good old time. And then one of my favorite verses in the Bible, it says, and then the brook dried up. Have you ever had the brook dry up in your life? Yes. When you lose a job, when something you were depending on all of a sudden isn't there anymore, and you were depending on that friend for support, or you were depending on that family member who died, or you were depending on that job, or you had some kind of structure underneath you that you were counting on, that deal, or whatever, something that you are really depending on for your sustenance, and then all of a sudden, it just dries up. And that friend's not there anymore. And they moved away, or they died, or something. And the brook will often dry up in your life. Now, when Elijah was in this situation, and the brook dries up, he gets mad at God. And he says, God, don't you love me? Here you were providing food for me and water and refreshment and trees and I was relaxing and having a great old time and all of a sudden the brook's not working anymore. Don't you love me? And God says, of course I love you, Elijah. I love you. I just don't want you at the brook anymore. I don't want you at the brook anymore. And as long as it was going, you weren't going to go anywhere. I didn't create you to simply sit by a brook the rest of your life. There are things to do. There are places to go, people to see, jobs to accomplish, missions to fulfill, goals to reach. And I don't want you staying at the brook your entire life, and you aren't going to move until I finally dried it up. Sometimes God dries the brook up in your life because he doesn't want you doing what he wanted you doing a year ago. God led Elijah to the brook. And just as soon, Elijah would have stayed there. He got comfortable. And God said, well, that's not what I want him to do forever. So he dries the brook up. sometimes God has to use pain to get our attention. Now, the point is, when you talk about your pain with other people, you're going to have a willing ear, particularly if you're talking about pain they're going through at that moment. But for God to use the pain that's happened in your life for the good of other people and for His purposes and for your benefit, you have to be authentic. You have to be honest. You can't sugarcoat it. You can't fake it. You can't pretend about it. You got to be real and honest about the hurts in your life. Now, the best example of this is, again, the Apostle Paul. As I said, probably the greatest Christian who ever lived next to Jesus himself. And Paul, in his life, if you read through the New Testament and all those books that he wrote, he is very honest about five different things in his life, things that we don't like to talk to other people about. But Paul had such an impact and single-handedly, revolutionized the Roman Empire, and Christianity spread all over because he was willing to be honest about things we're not willing to be honest about. What are they? You might write these down. They're on your outline. To help other people, I must be honest about these five things. First, my feelings. I have to be open with my feelings. Johnny Baker was helping me with this point last night. He talked about, this is kind of hard for men. He said, as men, there's two feelings we're honest about. Really, when we're hungry and we want sex. But that's about it. He goes, we don't really talk about much else. We're not guys who really share our feelings very well. Notice Paul says, we have spoken frankly to you. We have opened our hearts wide. Paul says, I didn't just teach you. I opened my heart. I shared my feelings. And if you're going to have an impact in the lives of other people, you got to learn to share your feelings. Then I learned to share my faults. And that's a little bit harder. I have to be humble about my faults. In the Bible, Paul tells us, each of us must bear the faults and the burdens of his own, for none of us is perfect. So that's pretty easy to admit, but we just are honest about our faults, and we're specific about them. Third thing you have to be honest about, if you're going to be an impact in others, is your failures. I have to be honest about my failures, frank about my failures. Notice Paul says, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the worst. He's going, man, I'm it. And if you read the rest of the passage, he goes, I helped kill a guy. I stood there when they were stoning Stephen, and he said, I persecuted the church. And he is very frank about his faults and his failures. Fourth, I need to be truthful about my frustrations. And you got to stop saying, well, it doesn't bother me, or it's no big deal, or forget it. No, you be honest about your frustrations. The things in your life that you can't seem to get control of, that helps other people. Paul says, I have the desire to do what's right, but I cannot carry it out. Don't you feel that way sometimes? You want to do the right thing, but you end up not doing it. He says, I keep doing the evil that I don't want to do. He said, all that stuff I don't want to do, I keep doing it. I don't want to look at that. I don't want to read that. I don't want to act that way. I don't want to say that. I don't want to respond that way, but I do. It is in that kind of gut level honesty you make a difference in people's lives. Truthful about my feelings and my faults and my failures and my frustrations. And then one more on the back of your outline. He says, I got to be honest, and this is the hardest one of all, about my fears. We hate to tell people what we're afraid of. But every time you share a fear with somebody else, it does two things. It lowers the level of fear in your own life, and it encourages that other person. It lowers the level of fear in your life. Fear builds when you keep it a secret. And it lowers it in your own life, and it helps other people. My fears, he says, I do admit that I have fears. This is Paul talking. That when I come to you, that you'll disappoint me, and I'll disappoint you. And frustration with each other, we'll fall to pieces. Just isn't going to happen. What is Paul saying here? He's saying, you know what? We're all broken. Why don't we just admit it? If I hold it in, it makes me miserable. It doesn't help anybody else. I need to learn to be honest about my fears and my faults and my failures and my frustrations and my feelings. When I do that, I get healing and other people get healing. So this first thing, learn to share how pain got your attention. Second thing, I need to learn to share what I've learned in the process. I need to learn to share what I have learned in the process. In other words, since that crisis in your life, since that trouble, since that problem, since that pain, what have I learned from it? What are the lessons that I learned and that I can pass on? You've heard people say it's wise to learn from experience. Well, it's true, but let me tell you something better than that. Yes, it's wise to learn from experience. It is wiser to learn from the experience of others. Why? Because I don't have time to make all the mistakes myself. If I have to learn everything by personal experience, I'll die before I learn it all. And isn't it a whole lot better for me to learn from your failure than to go out and do it myself and fail and then go, oh, I shouldn't have done that? It's less painful and it's quicker for you to learn from the experiences of other people. That's why you need to read history. It's why you need to read the Bible. It's why you need a mentor in your life, no matter how old you are. It's why you need spiritual partners. It's why you need a spiritual small group. Because we learn from each other. Go, oh, somebody who's already been through that can help me move along quicker. Now, what are the lessons that God wants us to learn from pain? Johnny Baker is our director of Celebrate Recovery. Would you welcome him? Great.
Hey, everybody. My name is Johnny, and I'm excited to talk about these things because as we share what we've learned from our pain, we find that we help more and more people. So let's look at the three things that God wants us to learn from our pain. The first thing we can share is I can share what I've learned. I've learned to depend on God's love. As we've gone through these 8 weeks, many of us have decided that there's things in our lives that we're ready to get rid of, our habits and our hang-ups. We're ready to strip those aside and we're ready to turn to God and depend on Him only. If you were to come to Celebrate Recovery on a Friday night and I were to stand up, I'd say, hi, my name is Johnny. I'm a believer who struggles with alcoholism. Now your response would be, hi, Johnny. Let's try that. Hi, Johnny. Okay, good, I feel at home now. Thanks for doing that for me. But when we do that, we're sharing about something that I used to depend on. I used to depend on alcohol for my comfort. Maybe for you, it's food, or it's shopping, or it's any of these habits, it's anger. There's different things that we turn to for comfort. When we begin to strip those away, we begin to let God be our comfort, we realize that He's really all we need. Because we find out that sometimes we go through situations and people split. Our friends leave us. We find that we're alone. We find that the thing that's been giving us comfort is empty and is actually killing us. So we turn to God and we find that He is all the comfort we need. 2 Corinthians 1, 8 through 10, Paul says, we were crushed and overwhelmed and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good. For then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us. And He did help us. That was good. We were crushed and overwhelmed. Yes, it was good because then we could turn to God and we could learn that He is all we need. We often don't learn that until He's all we have. And so when you come to this place where you find that God is your comfort, that you can go to Him and depend on Him and depend on His love, you can share that with other people. The next thing that we can share that we learn when we go through painful times is I learned to follow God's word. I've learned to follow God's word. See, God wants to teach you about Himself. His power and His love and His grace and His wisdom, and He does that through His word. This is a tough one for a lot of us because it seems like we don't turn to the Bible until we're in crisis. So we don't fill our minds with scripture until it's too late. But the Bible is full of loving warnings. Think about it this way. If you have children, I ironed my shirt. I know by now it doesn't look like I ironed my shirt, but I did at one point iron my shirt. And I was ironing it. My three-year-old Chloe came up to me and she said, what are you doing? Because I guess I don't iron all that often. And I said, well, I'm trying to iron my shirt. I said, don't touch this iron. It's super, super hot. And I could see in her eyes. She was just like, must touch iron. You know, I mean, she just was like, oh, you know, and I said, Chloe, if you touch this iron, I'm gonna have to take you to the doctor. The doctor is like, you know, shots and scariness for her. So she's like, oh, never mind. I'll put my hands behind my back and walk away. But I gave her that warning, don't touch the iron. But how many of us growing up, somebody would say, don't do that. It's bad for you. And that's all we wanna do. As a teenager specifically, there were times in my life my parents would say, Johnny, don't do that. You're going to end up hurting yourself. Learn from my mistakes. Because my parents made lots of mistakes. But they said, learn from my mistakes. As a parent, they laugh at me now when they see my children. They go, back at you. And so, but learn from my mistakes instead of making your own. And the Bible is the same. The Bible says, here are some things you can learn from. When God gives us warning, when God gives us rules, or when he tells us things of how we should live, it's because he loves us, and he wants us to have a fulfilled life. Proverbs 1:19-71 says, it was the best thing, this painful situation that was going on was the best thing that could have happened for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your laws. In our painful times, we depend on God's love, and then we learn to follow God's word. The third thing that we can learn from painful times is that I can learn that I need other people. This is why it's so important that we're in small groups. Now, I have to be honest with you. There's some nights when we go to small group, and I'll tell my wife, I don't want to go. I'm tired. I want to sit down and watch TV, or I just kind of want to veg out, or you're my small group. All I need is you. And she goes, in the car, let's go. We're going to small group. And every time we leave, when we get out the door, I go, how could you have not wanted to come here tonight? I mean, this is a great small group to be a part of. In the last 8 weeks, I feel closer to the men in my small group than I have ever. We need other people when we're going through hard times. See, God uses other people to teach us about ourselves. Oftentimes, if you're in a relationship, he uses that other person in the relationship. Sometimes we say, thank you, I don't need you to tell me that right now. But he says, no, go ahead and keep the pressure on. Keep telling him what's going on. 1 Corinthians 11:11 says, remember that in God's plan, men and women need each other. Now, this doesn't have anything to do with marriage or relationships, but it's saying, look, I created you in my image. I put some of my traits in men and some of my traits in women. So you need each other. Men, you need some good, godly, spiritual women to come alongside you who can talk into your life. And women, the same thing. When we do that, we find that we get a bigger picture, a better picture of who God is. And we can also see what's going on in our lives that needs attention. Ecclesiastes 4:9-10 is so important. It says, two people are better than one. Why? If one falls down, the other can help him up. But it is bad for the person who is alone and falls, because no one is there to help him up. Usually, we're not willing to face the truth about ourselves until we're forced to. And other people in our lives can do a couple of things. They can encourage us and pray for us, like we talked about last week. But they can also point out these flaws in our character that can help us. And then when we need them, when we go through hard times, they're the people we call. They're the people we lean on. They're the people who encourage us and walk us through these hard times. So we can share those three things that we learn from our pain. And now Pastor Rick's going to come back and tell us the third thing we can share as we go through painful passes. Thanks.
Thanks. Now you're not, yeah, you can clap. Go ahead. You're not fully healed. You're not fully recovered. You're not fully mature until you're able to start sharing with other people the hurts and the habits and the hang-ups that you have been going through. Doesn't mean you're completely worked them all out of your own life. It means you're able to say, I'm one step ahead of you. Let me tell you where you can head toward. And what do I share? I share how pain got my attention, and I share how I learned from pain, the lessons that I learned from pain.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. We're so thankful that you've chosen to spend some time with us. If you've missed any part of this broadcast, including portions that we didn't have time for today, just go to PastorRick.com and listen online anytime. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. But first, you know, no matter what challenges come your way, you can fill your life with hope and healing when you immerse yourself in God's Word. That's why we're so excited to tell you about the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Here's Pastor Rick to tell you more.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. God tells us in Proverbs 7, verse 2, guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and also keep them deep within your heart. Now, you may not think you've got a good memory, but the truth is, we all remember what's important to us. For instance, you remember phone numbers and dates that you care about.
I've heard people say they can't memorize anything, yet they can quote a song lyrics from their childhood, or they can rattle off a statistic for their favorite baseball player. You see, memory is a skill that you can learn. And it's also a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, study after study has shown that memorizing scripture will cause your brain to have a stronger memory in other areas too. So when you memorize scripture, you're actually benefiting a lot of other areas in your life. Now, here's how I want to help you memorize God's word. We've put together a new packet, a new set of cards with verses from the Bible for you to memorize. And these are good, easily memorizable verses. And you can put these cards around your house, or you can put them on your refrigerator, or, you know, tape them to the mirror where you brush your teeth, or you can put them by your bed, or in your car, in the visor. It doesn't really matter, but they're very beautiful, and they will keep these Bible verses, God's word, before you every day, helping you to memorize the word of God. I hope you'll take advantage of this new resource.
Today, when you support Pastor Rick's Daily Hope with a gift to help share the hope of Jesus Christ with people around the world, we'll send you your very own copy of the brand new Life's Healing Choices Scripture Box. Go to PastorRick.com or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 right now to request this great resource. That's PastorRick.com with two R's in the middle, or text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004. Thanks so much. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.